Simon side of things. The first topic in the Simon is a Ketzad Misharin. I apologize for the typo, which you should hopefully have been able to figure out. The Mishnah, I think it's just fine. You look at the Mishnah, why is he asking us to look at this Mishnah? But when you look at the Perish Harash on the Mishnah, and you see that it's Perishay Mishnah Tess, you know, you kind of realize quickly that it was a typo on my part. So anyway, the first question is, when you're Mishayer for Bittul, what goes with the Heter, what goes with the Isser, and what goes with neither? So we already saw one thing in the Gemara in the last part of this, last part of Siman Tzadi Ches that we did. Not in the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Gemara, one thing that is not summed up with or connected to either the Isser or the Heter. What was that? Because it comes up again in the discussion here. And this is where the Shulchan Aruch passes. What? The Kedera. But the Kedera doesn't count. Right? Despite the fact that the Kedera potentially absorbs, and it is kind of an odd thing. Right, the Kedera absorbs stuff, so much so that we assume if you cook treif in a Kedera, the pot absorbs the treif. Therefore, but we don't assume that it's sufficient to diffuse the tam of the Isser that it should be added up to Shishim, or at least well, it's not the way Rashi assumes. Now, of course, there is an argument for why we don't do that. What's the argument for why we don't do that? Alex? No. But if I have 60, I know how much falls in. I know there's 59 kazaisim of heter, one kazais of isser. But there's the wall of the pot, right? The whole point is we want to distribute and diffuse this one kazais of isser so that you can't taste it in the 59 of heter. Well, the answer is it's not just the 59 of heter that are going to absorb tam from this one piece. So is the pot. So presumably the pot can do its job, absorb one kazais, let's say, of the Isser, absorb 1/60th of the Isser, and the Heter can absorb 59/60ths of the Isser.
No, the pot is also going to absorb part of the Heter, and what's left, it's still
going to
be getting something.
Let's hypothesize that you pull, well, first, I don't even care, let's say you pull out the piece of meat. Okay? So now we're trying to Mishayer how much is Balua, in other words, should the view of Shishim to be Mavato, the Tam of the Bach? The answer is that Kedera should be able to absorb some of the tam. And I would add further, if the Isser got stirred around in the pot, Mistama, the Kedera could absorb some of the mamashas also. Right? It doesn't matter. Here's the point. It shouldn't matter. When you invoke the idea that Hetera Bala also, that means if we're trying, that takes as a given. We're trying to figure out how much Heter there was. And we see the Isser, and we say, well, Bistama, the pot absorbs some of the Heter. So there was really more Heter to start with. And the answer is yes, but there was also more Isser to start with. Right? But I'm not asking that question. I'm asking, given we know what the Heter was when we started, we know what the Isser was, but the whole point is that if I throw in other Heter, it'll help the Heter be Mevatel the Isser. So too the pot should help the Heter be Mevatel the Isser.
So I'm trying to answer that by saying that whatever the pot's absorbing of one, it's absorbing the other, and in terms of what you're actually eating.
Okay.
No, but if you're going to say that, then the pot, if there's 59 kazaisim of heter, then the pot has absorbed 1/60th, and one kazai of isser, the pot has absorbed 1/60th of the isser, and you're not eating the pot. So
it's absorbing, no.
But it also absorbed 1/60th of the heter.
That's what I'm saying.
So that part of the heter that's in the pot is also not sufficient.
So it's and the
point
the same proportion.
You're saying there's zero
that, that the...
Maybe Alex's answer works. No, that shouldn't matter. The bottom line is, I don't care where the heter is. I need to know. The point is, in general, when we talk about
why it's no different than saying if it falls in and I scoop something out. Well, I scooped out some of this, or okay, you also scooped out some of that.
No, but the question is the following. Listen, when I have 59 kazaisim of heter and one kazaias of isser, and then I have another kazaias of something else. Okay, again, let's assume it could be isser of Atlans as a right. What? In other words, why is that case more so?
Because there the tam is not nicker. But here
the tam's not going to be nicker here either.
Sure, it's going.
No, it's not, because the point is. When you look at the sum, how much material, again, things trade flavors. How much, or things absorb flavors. How much material was there to absorb the flavor of the issue? The answer is there's 59 kazeis of heter plus the sum of the pot. I don't care if the pot also absorbs some of the heter. The bottom line is, it just means I can't eat that heter because it's not accessible. But the bottom line is that you're not, in the heter that remains, you're not going to be able to taste the iser. I can't eat all the heter because some of it's absorbed in the pot. It's just a Matthias problem. But in theory, I don't understand why you're telling me the pot plus 59 kazeisim of heter with one kazeis of chel is different than one kazeis of dam and 59 kazeisim of heter and one kazeis of chel. What difference does it make? In other words, if there's 60 kazeisim of absorbing materials that can absorb the tam ha'iser, it means I shouldn't be able to taste it. Who cares? I don't care if the pot absorbs heter as well. That just means I'm not going to get to eat that heter. Okay? No, that's life. Right? But in other words, when the Gemara invokes that idea that hetera bala isura lo bala, that's a case where I know there was more heter. That's a case when I know that there was more heter to start with. I know what the heter and isur are now, but I'm going to say that there's heter balua in the walls of the pot that's helping be mevatel. So the answer is, but there's also, in other words, when I had it originally, there was also iser that was absorbed, and there's more iser to start with, there's more heter. The assumption in that Gemara clearly is that the walls of the pot are not mitzarif. Probably both, that Gemara certainly assumes that the walls of the pot do not contribute, are not mitzarif, the heter in the pot, to be mivatel the tam of the iser. And that's a case of just how much heter was there. Right? In a case where I know that there was more heter to start with, but it disappeared, but there wasn't more iser to start with. So in that case, I want to say that it's not the pot that's being mevatel, but it's the heter in the walls of the pot. But I'm asking a different question, which is, why isn't the pot itself mitzaris? I mean, there is a sheet in the Gemara like that. The reason why that becomes so stark is because we talk about bones. How are bones different than a pot?
Well, that's pretty intuitive.
No? Yeah, you tell me.
The bones are within the iser itself.
Tell me something. Okay, let's say, you know what? We are a very wasteful society. But once upon a time, when people had animals, they made use essentially of every single part of the animal. And so you know what they used to do with the bones of the animal? They made spoons out of them. They made forks out of them. Conceivably, you can make a pot, too. I mean, if you have the right bone, you know, that's large enough to do it, or a little bowl or something like that. So let me ask you a question. Right? Why don't you assume there that the bones are absorbed just like the heter does? If they absorb when the meat is around the bones, when it's in the food, what difference does it make? What?
Did you cook that bone?
Yeah, that's very different.
You're using the bone of like an animal you just killed in your scenario.
Yeah, you're cooking it.
But you're cooking something else.
Obviously, we stop the process at some point. This cow once ate a piece of non-kosher meat. So there's non-kosher meat in this cow. So now the cow's not cooked. I'm asking
if I take that bone, which you're arguing to me, you know, absorbs, right? We say that the bone is mitzarev to the basar to be mevatel the yisr. So I'm asking you, and what difference does it make whether that bone is actually, we place it in, surrounded by the meat on, you know, the way it was naturally, or whether that bone is, in fact, the pot?
Presumably when they're making the pot, they're cleaning the bones. It's not, so, you know, it's not... it's no longer soaking in the juices.
Well, but this, that's
the juices are in it, soaking. You're cooking the meat in it, in the bone pot.
No, I'm saying that they cleaned it from whatever. From
that doesn't work because the usser from the bones
can't clean it
anyway. So that's not, that's we were talking about the case. The bone thing only works if it's a dry bone, anyways, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't, what Alex is describing,
can't work. I'm not sure where you're going with this. In other words, when I cook, we say that if I have meat and bones of heter, and let's say the bone is, the bone of heter could have malach in it. It doesn't have to be a dry bone. Right? But also, even a dry bone, certainly.
Malach,
everybody agrees.
Can't come out then?
What's that?
You're assuming the malach can't. It can't.
Let's take the case the way the Rash suggests, or the way the Shach suggests, that if you have dry bones, then of course they are mitzarif to be mevatel the iser. So I'm asking, why is that? They're dry bones. I could literally make cutlery out of this, or, you know, a pot, if I had the right shape. Why is that mitzarif?
Well,
what the assumption is that it's mitzdarit because it absorbs tam of the iser, so you can diffuse the tam of the iser over the basar and over the etzah. So Meski, how's that different than a pot? David?
I don't know if this fully answers your question, but is there a distinction to be made regarding whether or not it's part of the tarobis? That the pot, like...
No, no, when you say something's part of the tarobis, is only knowing whether or not... And those are two different questions. One, is there a suffix? If it's standing on the side, it's not part of the tarobis.
But, like, the pot is definitely not...
It's not, but when, but it's not, the pot is not, you can separate the pot from the food in the pot, yes. The concern is that when you cook in the pot, we assume that tam gets in from the food into the pot. We do assume that, right? Despite the fact that you can say the pot is not the taroves with the food cooked in it, the pot absorbs flavor from the food. I mean, it does, to some extent, depending on the material and so on, right?
But, the first question we started with whether or not the pot, or why can't we consider the pot to be, take 1/60th of the is that even if it does, it's not part of the tarovis.
But the issue, we're not, I am thinking in the world of Tosos, not in the world of Rashi. So I am only concerned, can I taste this tray food in the heter food? The way we work with the rule of thumb, just because it, because we don't, you rely upon fela, we don't always have a kefela, is we say if there was 60 times material in the heter, can I get the Isser Tzmutter? The presumption behind that is that when you have 60 times the amount of iser to absorb the tam is so diffused that you can't taste it. So who cares whether or not it's the heter food you eat or the pot that absorbs in the flavor? Either way, it should be mitzarek to the bittel. So that's it. And the question is made particularly glaring. So you're going to say to me, and I could have said this, and I said, what happens if I cook tarfus in a pot? I assume, and I don't know, I don't know how much it absorbed, I assume the entire pot is baluah of tarfus. And then I cook another food in it, I have to be mishari the entire pot as being baluah. So the answer you could give to me at the first step is, well, that's because it's only misafek that we're mishari, but really we know it doesn't absorb that much, so you can't rely upon the pot to be mevatel the tam of the iser because you really don't know how much it absorbs. Although, arguably, if you're already close to the margin of shishim, if you have 59 kizasim of heter, given the way we treat a pot, it's almost hard to imagine we wouldn't say it can at least serve as a kizayis of absorbing material to avoid the tam iser. But I'm making the question more glaring because I'm raising the question of etzem, right? People made cookware. People made stuff out of bones. And when you have a kli etzem, what happens if you cook trade food in it? What do you do with it? You kosher it. Right? I understand that. Right? It absorbs. So my question is, once you've made a bone plate or a bone pot, you know, a small bone pot with it, and you're cooking it, why isn't that mitzarev to be, let's say you cook in that little pot 59 quantities of heter, and one quantity, whatever it is, of iser, why don't we assume that the pot also absorbs some of the tam of the iser?
The bone pot?
Yeah.
Well, it may still
How is that different than when the bone is still inside the flesh?
It may still have some of its original... Well, are we talking about bones that came from an aser and an animal's aser?
Well, it doesn't really matter, because the assumption is there's no marrow in the bone. There's no, the bone is inedible, right? You eat a bone of an avail with no marrow in it, you're not high of anything. It's, what? No, some, not all bones have marrow in them, right? So, the issue, by the way, of a gelatin, gelatin, in terms of animal bones, is derived from bones, I believe, that have marrow in them, not from regular bones, not from dry bones. What?
The cartilage also.
What's that?
The cartilage also.
That's good for the same reason, because it's not the hard calcium, it's not pure hard, dry bones, right? It's the other material. The issue with the gelatin is that it's then rendered inedible and then used, and that's a question. It's a machlokas aposkim, right? But just straight dry bones. In other words, I'm not sure I know the answer to this question. Question is addressed. It is addressed, but you have to realize, if you start thinking, we looked at the kedera in the Gemara, but kedera atzma. We did that was like, I don't know. You initially think it's a crazy shita, but it's not. If you think that the bones are mitzdarif, if you think that the bones of heter, and some say even the bones of iser, that the shach paskins. The Mechaber Paskins like the Rosh. The Ramah says, you should be Machmer, but Bikur, and then like the Rosh. The Shach adopts a different approach. He quotes the Ra'ah and says that if it's dry bones, then absolutely you follow L'chatchila, the Mechaber's position. And if it's Davara, then you have to assume the bones of Isra mitzdarif with the Isra. Okay. So, but what I'm asking is, you're assuming that dry bones are absorbing flavor. How is that different than a bone pot? And once you move out, how is that different in a cheres pot? Cheres, we certainly assume, absorbs. Morty?
when you're talking about the bones, you're talking about something that was inside the Isser itself. So the difference between that and a pot would be the pot, whatever flavor goes in, but the flavor that went in was not the same volume as the pot.
If you're going to tell me, we don't know how much is absorbed by a pot, and therefore we can't rely upon it, I understand. But by the same token, it's hard to imagine that we would say that if you have 20 parts bone and 40 parts basar of heter, and then you have one part iser, that you're going to say that the 20 parts of bone will absorb it. And the assumption, if you only had 59, right, 59 kazesim of heter, you could potentially taste it. Now you have 40 kazesim of basar of the heter and 20 kazesim of bone, and you're going to tell me that the 20 kazesim of bone are going to absorb enough flavor to render that one kazayas of iser untastable? Hard to imagine. By the pot, we barely know. I mean, look, the reality is the pot doesn't really absorb that much. I'm more surprised by the bones, but...
Yeah. Maybe the bones were like kind of like separate little chambers, but like the pot itself, that just like the bliot in the pot, they're just an extension of the space of the pot. It's kind of like there's little channels in the walls of the pot.
The best argument that, you know, you're making an argument, but I would say that the only thing you could say, but it's only a question of degree, is that maybe in a pot, the pot, only one surface of the pot, you know, is necessarily exposed to the bleos, whereas when a bone is surrounded by the meat, all surfaces are surrounded. But the truth is, if you do the mathematics, it's not that much of a difference. I mean, it might be that it has twice the absorbing capacity. But the bottom line is even the dry bone that's surrounded by the meat, so the external surface, so you get a slightly bigger layer that, you know, slightly greater sum total. Even if it's twice the amount, it's still a trivial amount that's going to absorb.
And we still say no matter how big the surface area of the pot is, like if that was the case, in a really big pot, once you get it to a certain point, should also
be able to absorb, yeah. Right. Right.
Also, the ladle should be the same thing. Even if you say you're worried it's not...
Moving, correct, a ladle goes in and both sides typically again. Yeah, that's right. Right. I mean, we're going to look at what is said about this, but I am troubled by it. Catherine?
But how do we know that the bone itself isn't usher? Meaning the bone of an avela, let's say.
How do we know? Because it's an animal. It has no tongue. It's not really there. That's the Gemara takes that as a given. That atzmos sanavela when there's no moach on them is mutter.
So any part of the animal that's an animal.
That's to be an animal is not the following thing. That was the whole point. The Gemara in Pesachim in the second parak when it wants to argue how do you know gidan asha is mutter bana. So if yish be gidim in the same time, the answer is kishahutrahi by nevela hutrahi bechelba begida. Right. In other words, the Torah permitted the entire nevela giving it to a guy. It permitted the Isser Nevela. It permitted giving that which is Nevela to the guy. And anything that's Bechal the Isser Nevela is therefore must be Mutavana. So if eating Chela from a Nevela is considered Nevela, and eating Gid from a Nevela is considered eating Nevela because Yesh be Gidin the Nosetan. So from that you learn the Heter of but the Gemara says, if ain't be given no same time, then the fact that the guy says that you can give a nevela to the Torah says you can give a nevela to a guy doesn't mean that the Gidanasha is matabana, because maybe you're not allowed to give the Gidanasha. Because the Gidanasha is not bechlali is a nevela. Why is it not bechlali is a nevela? The answer is because ain't be given no same time. It's based on a Torah sratu. So it's still awesome in a Torah as Gidanasha, but it doesn't shame nevela. Even if you hold that Isser is chal al Isser in all sorts of ways, the Gidanasha of a nevela, we would pass them this way. You eat the Gidanasha of a nevela, you get Malchus for Gidanasha, you don't get Malchus for nevela. Why? Because it's inedible. So Atzamos, that don't have Moach, are in the same category. Right? The most that you can come up with is maybe, I'm not even sure it's true in this context, but maybe you can come up with an Issad Rabbanon of Achshavay, that you're turning into a Michael by choosing somehow to eat it. But Alpidin, Naitin Torah, if it doesn't have any Tam of, you know, nevela, Tam of Basar, Tam of something that's like that, then it is not the halal nevela. So the atzamos of iser, if they don't have moach in them, so the atzamos of iser are not really iser.
Yeah, that's a clarification question. Sure. This is going to sound like there is no moach, but I think there is. Is it that there's no like tam basar in the bones, therefore it's mutter, or is that but there still might be tam bone, or is it saying that there's its case is completely?
It's inedible. He doesn't have that tambasa because chelem, it doesn't have tambasa, probably different time. Dinanosh is going to be taste different than basar.
Can we say that there's still tam bone, but tam bone is mutter?
Well, I don't know what that means.
It's not a taste to it. But
everything has a taste to it.
Well, some things will have, metal you might consider have. It's like
I'm sure metal has a taste to it. Probably revolting to you when you eat metal straight. I imagine you eat metal bust. I don't recommend doing it, right? I mean, it's important that we have iron, but I don't suggest that you chomp on an iron bar. Certainly, if you break your teeth, but you know, if they grind up the iron into a powdery material, I don't recommend you're consuming that iron straight. So I think that's not called ocha. It's not ori lachilas. It's not called ocha. Yes, it has a taste. I would say for people probably eating grass, never tried it. Okay, you could probably do it without terrible harm to yourself. So next time you have a chance, Sam, if you're passing by some cancer, you're quadrating, grab a handful of grass and chew on it. What's that? After they cut the lawn, I don't want you to buy a bag of constant gazelle. So so after they cut the lawn, if there are cuttings there, so you can taste the grass. It has a taste, I'm sure. Ask the cows. The cows like the grass. But nonetheless, it's not considered ochel. It's not machel. It's not really machel.
Did you still say that there might be between something that machel and has some taste and something that has no taste? The Rosh Hashanah has a weird idea about, like, it's not that what it seems saying is that's not that the taste diffuses throughout a heter and makes it now you can't taste the iser. It's that the taste of the heter disguises the taste of the iser. So you might make a distinction then between different materials and different kalim.
Well, I understand that. So I took the bone example precisely because you can make kalim out of bone. I understood
right.
that. It's true with foods also. Some foods,
no,
if you take the blandest food, if you take rice, let's say plain evil white rice, okay? Or even better, you take Wonder Bread, right? Wonder Bread is probably not hummus. It's not, shouldn't be considered right up here. It's not. You understand? You know why?
There's nothing in it.
There's no yeast in it. Wonder Bread is not made, doesn't rise via yeast and the chemical reactions in the carbon dioxide. They blow air into Wonder Bread. The whole point is explained to me. Obviously, I never had Wonder Bread. The whole point of Wonder Bread is so that the bread doesn't interfere with the taste inside of it. So, please don't quote me as saying Wonder Bread is kosher for Pesach. I'm not even sure it's kosher, but the point is that it was designed to have no taste, right? It still has a taste. It's just not particularly tasty. So you could imagine in Wonder Bread, it wouldn't take you probably need a lot more than 60 to be mevatel many different kinds of things. You would taste them in the bread because the bread is so bland. So obviously, it all depends upon the material. 60 is generally a good rule of thumb. Sometimes you need less, and occasionally you need more, depending upon what the mevatel is and what's being mevatel. That's understood.
This idea that you could make a distinction between when you have 59 parts and when I had the kli versus 59 parts of heter and then a dam, because dam actually has taste versus like the kli.
So I agree with you 100% that dam is more absorbent than kli. I'm not questioning that. I think dam is also a lot more absorbent probably than most dry bones.
Yeah.
But that's what's bothering me. I don't think we have a solid spot. Morty, go ahead. I mean, we're going to read, but...
This is also sort of just a clarification, but in a complex way.
In the society in which we live, complexity never seems to be clarifying, so...
does this concept of Atzamos Mistarvim pose a problem for Rabbeinu Ephraim, who holds that there's some type of conservation of taste? Meaning, how could 40 pieces of meat and 20 pieces of bone have more flavor than 40 pieces of meat?
No. He would say that the 40 pieces of meat, we would say, not he, that the 40 pieces of meat plus 20 parts of bone, if you cook them with one part of Isser, so we say that the bones are mitzvah to create shishu. Right? I'm questioning why, if the bones... So what if those bones, instead of being bones, let's say you had it in a glass pot that absorbs nothing, or essentially, for all intents and purposes, nothing. So you cook the meat, 40 ounces, with the bone, 20 ounces, with one meat ounce of meat, which is chazer. Right? So in that case, the halacha would say that is batel chazer. So I'm asking now, if instead of counting the 20 ounces of bone, I've got 80 ounces of pot, which is made out of bone, okay, not all of it. Let's say it's not as much of it is exposed to the chazir as would be a little less, maybe, is exposed to the chazir, proportionally, but nonetheless, there's a huge amount of bone in that pot. Why is that bone pot absorb any less that you shouldn't be mishayer b'kedeira atzma? And if it's earthenware is porous too.
What I'm asking is, what's the relationship between the volume and the amount of taste?
Well, we always work with the assumption of a volume. The way you mevatel something mishishim, mishishim a volume. We don't look at density, we don't look at weight. That's a point that the Ra'am may have a different sheet, but the Ran seems to say otherwise, and that's how the poskim will quote. We follow the volume with a full recognition that, right, so we understand that not all foods were created the same. So you might argue that typically 60 gives you protection, you know, so that you have a slight variance in food. So I understand that part. But I'm telling you, let's say I'm going to make my case worse for you. I have 20 kezesim of heter, 40 kezesim of bone, and 1 kezayis of iser, right? So at some point, you know, the volume is 60-1. But how much meat is that bone going to absorb? And if you tell me it's going to be equally capable of absorbing or close enough, then why, when that bone is the pot, as opposed to being a bone in a pot of glass, let's say, why is that any different? Alex?
Is the idea of bittul really about the absence of the iser taste, or is it about the dominance of the non-iser taste? Because if it's the latter,
I explored this issue already. Someone want to answer that question?
I know you're going to say to me the dom and the paler.
Tom Kiker. That's all. It's not about the dominance of the other taste. If you can't taste the isser, it can't be usser.
So explain it to you. It might not be so good because the dominance of the heter will make the taste of the isser a lot less.
I'm sorry?
The dominance of the heter...
Well, that's how the heter... That's how the isser disappears.
Yeah.
But my point is, I would agree, it's clear to me that if you were to taste this, let's say, 20-40 mixture of basar etzem and basar nevelo or let's say basar chazir, if you were to taste the chazir, obviously it's usser. And I would also say taste the chazir, it's mutter, like the Baalei Tosfos and the Rambam. So what I'm saying is, just as a starting assumption, why is it that the bone, when cooked in the pot, as opposed to the bone being in the pot, why are we treating it differently?
So just one second. So I'm not saying that, just to clarify, I'm not saying that the taste doesn't mean to be absent. I'm just saying that might not be enough. Meaning.
Except for the Baalei Tosfos and for the Rambam, I think it's pasha. If you can't taste the iser, you can't say tam ki'ikar is usser unless there is tam. Tam kiker means, if you can taste the iser, even though the mamashus isn't there, or there's such a small amount that's less than kazayis b'teach hilas pras, or maybe even less than shishim, so then, even though it's not the mamashus isn't there, nonetheless, the tam is kiker. It's kiker mamasho shel iser. If I can't taste it, I'm not working within Rashi Shita here about this requirement of shishim. I'm thinking the way we think, lamaskana, we think like Tosfos and the Rambam, that really it's dependent upon tam. Shishim is just the rule of thumb because we don't have a kefela, because we don't want to rely upon a kefela, whatever it is. I'm asking a very simple question. In Metzias, why are the two any different? Pots, again, I only invoke the fact that pots absorb and they become treif and treif up the stuff you cook in it. I only invoke that because we are assuming that pots absorb. As I said, you could have made a chiluk that it's a suffix how much it absorbs. But I've chosen to take a situation. I'm telling you that if you put pot, in other words, Alex, if you take... Think of the question this way. If I take cheres and I make pottery shards, okay, and then I toss them into the stew, does that mitzarif to the heter to be mevatel the iser?
I don't think so.
Why not? Why is it different than the bones in the stew?
Intuitively, I feel like there's a difference between something being edible versus not edible in terms of visibility.
The bones are inedible. They are absolutely, totally, completely inedible. If you keep insisting upon that, I'm going to find a bone and I'm going to ask you to eat it in front of the shear.
It's part of the aisle.
What?
It's part of the aisle, though.
Oh, who cares?
It's like, has this, like, when, like, isn't it something like, maybe it's like a shank aisle?
Who cares? We're talking about Tom here. I will not venture into the world of medicine. If I were brisker, I'd just start talking about a physical Tom and roll my eyes. But I'm not. What can I say?
Is that good?
What? I'm sorry, Alex?
The bone, even a bone that doesn't have... First of all, the bone that has the marrow for sure people eat. I know we're
talking about, and they don't eat the bone, they suck the marrow out of the bone.
Okay, but just like we say that...
So you're going to talk about rachim. Okay, so if you want to talk rachim, I understand, but you wouldn't make a pot out of those. Right? And if you did, I would hope that the pot would be mitzarev to the head, that they would be vatel the isa. I don't recommend making the pot of that.
When Shen is only the Isser of Shen, not the Isser, like a hive in Shen, only if it's Derech Achila. But we say that if the cat eats the basket on the way to eating the Ochel, then that's also called Derech Achila. So maybe here too.
No. Now, if you were a Brisker, you'd immediately understand that was a terrible analogy. Right? Derech Achila, when it comes to Nezikin, has to do with whether it's normal behavior for an animal or not. Did the animal act like a Meshuggah animal, or did the animal act like a normal animal? Meshuggah animal is Karen. Normal animal is Shein or Regel. However, that has nothing to do with the question of whether something has Tam when we talk about Derech Achila. Right? Okay, Avi.
It's probably a silly question.
First, in your first discussion, I thought you went to Gush. Now I see you didn't go to Gush. Okay.
I'm assuming here that there is some heter meat for the bones to be inspired. If it was just, you know, 60 bones.
Why not? I mean, again, what?
Rounded up bones, that would
end. Well, let's forget. Let's imagine if you cook the Isser in there. I don't know what you want to do with the bones anyway, if it's all bones.
No, the Isser would be all the taste of the Isser. Oh, right.
Right, well, you have to have some meat in there because nobody's going to eat the bones.
Do one piece of heter, one piece of Isser, 59 bones.
Thank you. You've done my work for me. You engaged in the reductio ad absurdum, which is where I was going. Right? In other words, you're going to say that's imitius, you don't even think that's going to happen, right? The bones will absorb something, I think, but you're going to really taste the chazer in the meat, right? I mean, take that case. That is the absurd, but I think it illustrates my question, Moshe.
In a way, the object that we call the pot is kind of below the entire mixture.
You're going back to where Alex learned it, yeah. Yeah, that's the same place, but who cares? Who cares whether the pot is around the food or inside the food? It's just a question of how much surface area is exposed. So you might have to adjust your calculation.
If everything is in the pot, then it doesn't matter whether it's in the walls of the pot or inside the thing, but it's all in the pot. So then
you're going down the same rabbit hole he went down. Right? In other words, bottom line is, who cares if I have 60 times the material in this universe, can I get the Isser that should be able to diffuse the Tom of the Isser? I don't care where some of the heter is now, I just need to know, will I taste the Isser in the heter when I eat the heter or not? And the answer should be, if I have absorbing materials, no. If the pot absorbs, so why isn't it inspired for the bittel? Right? If you tell me we're not sure how much it absorbs, why are atzamos, out of which you can make a pot, why when they are mixed up in tashil, as opposed to surrounding the tashil, why is there any difference?
Just like going back to the original case of Zerah v'Sheila,
yes.
when you give that part to the Kohen, that includes the bone in it is for the Kohen.
Yes.
So like metaphysically we say that is part of that portion to the Kohen, so can't we say similarly for Tom?
I'm going to ask you...
I don't like the answer, but like Tom is like metaphysically just a part
of the Kohen. Well, I'm not ready to concede the first part. What would the din be? I mean, it's hard to know. What if the Kohen and the Nazir were fighting over who gets the bone of the Zerah v'Sheila? What would the din be? Is it bichlal? You know, I assume it's exeris hakasav that you give him this raw b'sheila. I don't want to say that. I what meshuggahs are going to be fighting over it, right? What nazir comes after this period of kedusha and says to the kohen, I want my bone back.
Shimshon needed it as a weapon.
What? He would use the rest of the aisle. Besides, if there's no, I don't think there's no karbanos for nazirish shimshon. There's no terminus for nazirish shimshon. And it might even be that Nazir Shimshon is Metame Lemesim, so there's no carbon tuma and there's no carbon tara for Nazir Shimshon. By the way, even if you are, you know, Shikur Kishikusa Shalot and in a Meshug in the mood, and you want to spite somebody, do not accept upon yourself Nazir Shimshon. Because there's no, if you pay attention to the Hataras and Dharam Nosach, some have an error in it, but some say Afila Nazir Shimshon, which is wrong. There's no Heta for Nazir Shimshon. So it could be that if you're Shikur Kishikusa Shalot, maybe it's not a Nedir Bechlal. But if you're a mostly sound mind, if you want to spite someone, say I'll be a Nizir Olam, say I'll be a Nazir Shloshim Yom, and then you go to your Rebbe, and it'll tell you Meshuggah, why you take the Neder, and it'll get to other people and tell you you're crazy, and then you matter your Naziros. But don't be a Nazir Shimshon, whatever you do. Okay, and don't be like Shimshon either. So.
Just hit the scope of your
right.
question.
Because real war heroes don't get captured, yes. That's it.
Let's get the scope of your question.
Yes.
The outgrowth of your question would be, why isn't there a shita that says you just ignore the bones, both Lidisar and Laheter completely?
Well, there is such a shita.
Which one?
Yeah.
the shita, the pashtus in the Batli, until the Rosh rereads it, that the man damar who holds the man damar who holds meya says that basar b'hadei basar v'sharinan. The Rosh wants to say that lav davka b'hadei basar. It's just because the other one said basar batzamas b'hadei basar batzamas. So there is such a shita. That is,
but we don't pass him like that.
We don't pass him meya. Correct.
And we pass him like there.
Correct. We don't. Nobody says Bikthera Atma. Even the whole discussion, the whole, you know, Rashi out of hand. Even for those who read Kedera Atma, meaning the material of the pot, Rashi, you know, out of hand dismisses that. Nobody ever considers that shita. So
did I misunderstand the Rashi? Did the Rashi that Yerushalmi holds that?
No, the Rashi. No, no. Let's read the Rashi. The Rashi is not. You have to read the Rashi slowly and carefully. But let's. All right. So we know what. Let's take a very quick look at the. We know what the Bavli says, but let's read it anyway. We've read it once. I'll read it very quickly. Okay. The Bavli says Mea and Shishim. So the Gemara says Manda Amar B'Shishim Sabar on Sadi Chesam and Beis. Manda Amar B'Shishim Sabar Basarat Samas Badi Basarat Samas B'Sharinam Mahavadlei B'Shishim. So that's basar atzamos against basar atzamos. Man da amar b'meya savar basar b'hadei basar b'sharinam v'havad le b'meya. Right? So it sounds like the atzamos are just discounted, which would be actually the most obvious shita. But look, I do assume that the bones absorb some, just as I assume that a pot of porous material absorbs some. I would also assume it doesn't absorb that much. Right? I would assume it doesn't absorb that much. So yes, it's going to absorb, but not enough that it's going to contribute in a significant way to the bittul. So anyway, so now, we're not going to read the Yerushalmi separately because the Rash quotes the Yerushalmi. Whenever you're studying Yerushalmi, by the way, one of the problems with studying Yerushalmi, have we done any of the Yerushalmi so far this year? One of the problems is that we only have one manuscript of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is difficult as it is. It's written in A, Galilee, and Aramaic, but more importantly, there was no anonymous editorial layer for the most part in the Yerushalmi that rendered it readable to most people, as we have in the Babli. People may think that, some people think that learning Gemara is very difficult. So I will tell you that I don't think, once you've learned several hundred blot of Babli, it's not so hard, and maybe even less than that, it's not so hard to read Babli, right? You very much, you have an intuition and a feel for the Gemara constructs everything. It puts 90% of the pieces together for you. That's what the stem of the Gemara does for you. But the Yerushalmi, for whatever reason, doesn't have that type of editing, and it's much more disjoint, and it's much harder to read. You know, one of the things that you frequently see in the Yerushalmi asks a question, and what does it say after it asks the question? Nothing. It just goes on to the next topic. Right? The Bavli will give you the mark, and it will say Tiyufta, it will say Kasha, right? But the Yerushalmi, probably every page, the Bavli will point out that two positions, you know, of two Amoraim seem to be inconsistent with one another. What will the Bavli do? They'll start to stand on their head, they'll explain it, like the Balei HaTosos, you know, version one of the Balei HaTosos. What happens in the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi will just say Mechal and Shitase, their Shita seem to be reversed, and move on. Not even bother, so occasionally explanations offered, but typically not even bother to offer an explanation, a solution to the problem. It's like he just observes, thank you. What good are you doing? Could you explain? But the Yerushalmi doesn't. So it's much harder reading it. Now, the other problem is that manuscripts, we have one Ksaviyat of the Yerushalmi, of the entire Yerushalmi, and it's not of the entire Yerushalmi. It's our Yerushalmi, what we have, is only what we have in this Ksaviyat. It's Ksaviyat Leiden. Which is missing there's no Yerushalmi on the last 6-7 Prakim of Nida and on the last 3 Prakim of Shabbos and the last Parak of Makos, but there is on the first couple of Prakim. Now, you know, when you tell me there's no Yerushalmi in Kutchim, that's because there was no Yerushalmi in Kutchim at all until someone made one up in the late 19th century. However, if there was a Yerushalmi on the first 21 Prakim of Shabbos, there was presumably a Yerushalmi on the last 3 Prakim of Shabbos too, except that our manuscript didn't preserve it, right? Most bodily manuscripts are not complete. Most Babli manuscripts have a part of a Masechta, a few Masechtas. Right? There's one complete Babli manuscript, Ksaviyat Munich, 95. But in Yerushalmi, we only have one manuscript, and it's not complete. So basically, and for the materials that we have, it's so difficult. Sometimes there are errors that have crept in. So one of the... What?
The colophon, I forgot the exact one. He says that there's a lot of mistakes in this manuscript, and I tried correcting all of them, but I...
So which already creates problems. Just as, you know, the first...
The first printed edition of the Yerushalmi was the Venice edition in 1524. Okay. By the way, you should know about the first printed edition only because the way it was printed was it was printed two columns per page. And therefore, when you look at, you won't see it as much anymore, but if you look on the Bar-Ilan CD-ROM, the Bar-Ilan CD-ROM will give you two ways of referring to a passage in the Yerushalmi. One way is Perek and Halacha, which is useful but not totally useful because sometimes different Yerushalmi printings break the Halachas down differently, number one. The other way it refers to it is a Daf and an Amud. And the Amudim go Aleph through Dalet. And it happens to be that it doesn't restart every Masechta. It goes by the Seder. So it's giving you the Daf in the Venice edition, which starts Daf Aleph in Brachos, and it goes all the way to Bikurim, without resetting the daf, but each page, each piece of paper has two columns on one side, two columns on the other. That's Amud Aleph Beis Gimel and Dalet. So when you've seen the Lieberman CD Ram, you know daf X halacha Y. That's actually the printing to which it's referring. So if I'm not mistaken, Lieberman in probably Ahal Yerushalmi says the printer of the first edition of the Yerushalmi in Venice claims that he. He made emendations to the thing based upon other kisveyad that he had, and Lieberman reached the conclusion that he lied. He had nothing else in front of him. He changed it on his own, but he claimed he had other kisveyad. So basically, one thing to remember is that one of the most valuable sources there is one, aside from the Geniza fragments, there is one manuscript, I believe, of the other manuscript of the Yerushalmi Nezigim, which exists, which is its own story I don't want to talk about. But one of the most valuable sources we have for the Yerushalmi, for versions of the Yerushalmi, is the Rishonim who cite the Yerushalmi extensively. Now, it happens to be, there's only one problem with that. For example, Chassidei Ashkenaz, like the Ravya and the Ravon and the Orzavah, they tend to quote the Yerushalmi a lot. The problem is, they often offer commentary on the Yerushalmi, and it's interwoven with their citations of the Yerushalmi. So you're never really sure when the words are in the Yerushalmi and when the words are just the interpolations of the Rishonim put in. The Rash also, in his Peirush on Zrayim, the Rash wrote on Zrayim and on Taros, the Rash quotes Yerushalmi extensively on Zrayim, but, again, you have to be careful to know when he's quoting and when he's interpolating. So you just have to be careful, but it's an incredibly valuable resource. So with that introduction for the Yerushalmi, by the way, those who are interested, I don't know if it's readily available in print, nor I'm sure you guys still have room on your bookshelf. There's a fat one-volume
Yerushalmi. It's not available unless you've got about 300 shekels, 3 to 5, I think, or more.
Well, the shekel's not so bad.
No, actually, dollars.
There is a big, fat, thin, single red volume, quite tall, which was put out by some of the scholars at Hebrew U, which is basically a transcription of Ksav Yad Leiden. Unfortunately, they don't bother to put the Mishnah text in there. There's apparently a reason for that. Mayor Lichtenstein once explained it. I'm not going to repeat it now, but it represents a particularly, what I call, the unique Hebrew University disease in the way they approach scholarship. So unfortunately, they didn't put the Mishnah in this text of Yerushalmi, which is a little annoying, but it is the text of Ksav Yad Leiden. There is a Mishnah text in the Yerushalmi, Ksav Yad Leiden.
So
we know which manuscript it actually came from, too.
Magari, which we all have access to, has the text of
Leiden. Has Leiden, okay, good. Fine. Okay. Fine. So now, let's take a look at this Rash. You want to read Yossi? Thank you so much. Your spirit of volunteerism is wonderful.
Again, we didn't actually even get to the Rash.
Rash. Okay, now, who read the Rash? Alex, you read the Rash. I know that. Go ahead.
Yerushalmi Sham Tani. Ain't Tinofes Truma, Mitzdarepes Ima Truma, Lesoral Hulin. Al Tinofes Hulin, Mitzdarfin Ima Hulin, Lahalos Hatruma.
All right, so what is Tinofes Truma? Tinofes is a very, very nasty word. It means the filth, but it means the inedible parts of the truma. Let's say you grind up the truma, and you got, you know, ground up pebbles in there, maybe even bran. They may not have thought that to be so edible. I mean, bran can be mixed in with other stuff, and we actually prefer to have it, but if you sifted it out,
we remove, like, peels.
Peels, shells.
So it's the same thing as psoulas, you
said. Psoulas, yeah, that's what tinofes is.
I thought it was like rotted part of the
truma. It would have the same din, But it would have to be rotted so that it was not consumed by a human being. But let's say shells of things are not consumable.
Wait, it's not the actual part of the animal, though, like unedible parts of the animal.
This is truma.
To
the best of my knowledge, truma is only separated from protists. So, okay, so it's parts of the plant or the fruit or whatever that are not edible. Okay, so tani ancient ofes truma. So when you mishar, how much you have to be mevatel? You need 100 times in the head there. So you don't need to be mevatel the tinofis of the truma. Tinofis parts of the hulin can add in to be mitzarif. Okay.
O Yerushalmi, Ferek Kama De'orla, Ubinazir Perikimel Nini.
Okay, so the machlokas is whether or not you make whether or not the zroa is 1/100th of the ayah, or it's more than 1/100th of the ayah. So the Gemara Yerushalmi explains. Manda amar
b'mea, motzi atzamos min hazroa. Manda amar b'shishim, einat motzi atzamos min hazroa.
Okay, so now. Continue. So that's a question, not a statement. In other words, it's clear that at least the way we read the Bavli, the Yerushalmi is very different. The Yerushalmi says that the machlokas of mea or shishim is whether or not you count the bone in the zroa. If you count the bone in the zroa, then you're saying bittul is v'shishim. If you say you don't count the bone in the zroa, you can only assume that you might need at least mea to be mevatel. So the Yerushalmi says, well, why not take the bones out of the aisle? The answer is, less yachol.
Less yachol atani, ein tinofes trum mitzarfim yom truma, less or sechulin. Al tinofes chulin mitzarefes ima chulin the halos is a truma.
So what's the equivalent here of tinofes truma?
The bones of the
zroa. And what's the equivalent of the tinofes chulin? The bones of the aisle itself. All right, so the bone, it's clear that the bones of the aisle are mitzarif, but the bust of the aisle to be mevatel, whatever you have to be mevatel, either the basar of the zera or the basar and the etzem of the zera.
It's saying don't take out those bones.
But it's explicitly, don't take out the bones, it's clear, you don't take out the bones of the heter. It's mitzarif with the heter to be mevatel, whatever you have to be mevatel, l'chulei alma. So the only machlokas is, what do you have to be mevatel, the basar of the zera or the entire zera, including the etzem? Kelly?
So according to this, it would seem that by removing the zroa, you're going to change the ratio so much from 1/60 to 1/100 by just taking out the bones.
Apparently so. Right. I'm going to still accept that. I don't know anything. I have never analyzed a ram's foreleg to know exactly how much bone and how much meat there is. I'm surprised that when you take, if it's actually shishim connected to the leg, if you took the bones out, I'm surprised that you don't actually have a lot more than mea. But what do I know about a ram? It has a lot of flesh on the foreleg?
No, there's not a lot of flesh.
That's why I would expected that once you remove the bone, you have much more than 100 times in the aisle the flesh.
Also have one of those. Is it 60 to 100? I don't know. Like, the fact that you have more is
like... No, that you have more, that's a given. Well, by definition.
Yeah,
you put some, but I would have expected to be 600 or something. I don't know exactly, but we'll have to invite an aisle into class, See, that's the next time. Hirsch, was that your class that brought a llama to my note?
It's
your class. Next time, in your next life, you'll bring an aisle, and before you carry it over there and get the security guard fired, so you'll first make sure to measure the leg of the aisle and make an estimation. Okay. It was a brilliant prank, by the way. Brilliant senior prank, by the way. Just want to point that out. Okay. Yes, Johnny. What's that?
I still wasn't there.
What did you say, Ruben?
I was talking about the time. Like they brought the llamas onto the tile floor and they catch something.
Oh, well, I thought you meant for the minor crust, but yeah. Fine. So about that kind of applies to human beings also, you know. So
I feel like
apparently that didn't bother you guys, right? It was just the llamas were, you know, scaring everybody in that building. That was okay.
I feel like you're imagining this, like, big aisle, but the aisle in the Torah is, like, 1 or 2 years old. Like, how are we going to fit?
It's in its second year. I'm still proportional. I don't know. I have no idea.
Small, but it's not 600.
Okay, I don't know. I can't argue. You know, you'll go to the Bronx Zoo and see if you can. They probably don't have.
They're pretty big. They grow really fast.
Okay, Avi.
We know that the Bavli thinks that 1 in 100 is just the meat of that, and also just the meat of the rest of the aisle. So
I know.
So meaning here would be.
There seems to be a machlokas and Matthias for starters.
Right.
I understand that. Okay. If I had a very good idea of Matthias one way or the other, I would... But the truth is, there's another way of reading the Bavli, as the Rashi is going to say. And that's a crucial point. There might not be any machlokas in this regard. Alex.
The fact that we would be willing to count the bones in one direction and not the other, doesn't that in itself demonstrate that it's not purely the physical capacity of the bones?
We haven't said anything yet about that. The Yushalmi... Let's hold off a second. The Yushalmi is going to raise that question. Keep reading. You're right up to it. Go ahead. So now he's asking the question, can you take the peels and the shells of the truma, since it's not truma, because it's not edible, it's not food, so the shame truma is not chal, and can you throw that in with the heter, more material to be mavatel the truma? That's the question. So now... Okay. So the postures is in the Yerushalmi, but it doesn't state explicitly, say Nechanami, once you hold that the bones of the Isser are not mitzdarif with the Isser, they in fact are mitzdarif with the Heter, because they are the Tinofes of the Isser. Okay, so the answer is yes. Now those bones are Misayah. That is in fact ultimately the position of the Mechaber. Makes a lot of sense. Okay. Now, continue. Hach
Pluta. Wait, but what I'm asking is the bones of the, like, the bones inside the Heter animal, presumably are absorbing heter, and the bones inside the Isser animal are not the same animal, but the bones inside the Zerah are presumably.
I presume the Manda Amar who says that Yimashar Basar against the Basar assumes that the bones are not absorbing anything. And the Manda Amar who says that Yimashar, according to the Yushalmi certainly, that Yimashar only the Basar of the Isser, Keneged the Basar Atzamos of the Heter, would also throw in, as the Yushalmi suggests, the Atzamos of the Isser, because they too absorb from the flavor of the Isser. It makes both positions are very consistent. One says the bones don't absorb enough, we ignore them. And one says the bones absorb plenty and we use them, and both bones. Right? Both treat the bones conceptually the same within their own model.
But one second, but if the bones of the Heter are absorbing from the Heter, then isn't that less Heter flavor that can then be mevatel the Isser?
No, they're not. If you hold that... You hold the Manda Amar Shishim. I take that back. I'm explaining it wrong in the Yushalmi. In the Yushalmi. If you say that the bones of the Heter are mitzdarif with the Heter, the reason why the bones of the Isser are not mitzdarif with the Heter probably is because they're mitzdarif with the Isser. Let me just see how it goes. 1 second. No. Right. Are you motzi that tzamas ben azor or not? The Mandamar says, Shishim says, you're not motzi that tzamas ben azor. You count that as part of it.
Right.
That assumes that bones are a source of iser, for whatever reason.
But there's a shita that the bones only count towards the head.
Not in the Yushalmi, we've seen, not that it appears. There is such a shita, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, l'chatchina, but not really meaning. So hold on, we can eventually talk about that, because that's a very hard sheet to understand. Okay, so let's, Yossi.
Two questions. First, when we say motzi, when you finally says motzi, do they mean physically taking them out? Or
no, it means visualize, yeah.
Okay, and the other question, when it says man da'amor b'shishim ein atawasa etazro, and then man da'amor, what is atawasa?
It means that the question is, if you believe it's Shishim, you don't believe the Zerah is Echad from 100 of the aisle. If you believe it's 100, you do believe. That's all. It's a funny stat. I don't know why the Yushalmi states that. It should just go on.
From the aisle.
1/100th of the aisle.
Okay.
No, well, I think it's stated here because the point is that one party accepts the shear of Mea, which is a shear we know from the Mishnayos by Truma, and one party doesn't. Okay, so now, go ahead. Half plugta.
Half plugta. We plugta the Gira Nasha. Ika lamadamar. The lamadamar Hassan b'shishim. Ika lamadamar b'meah. Ushneyan lo lindua alam yizro b'shem. Mandamar b'meah lo mshar etzem mizro. El habasa. Mufarik in kain kotzi atzamos. Kmo chen min habasa. Shelo yisayu v'batel basar mizro.
Right, he won't come with Mea. Mishani.
Mishani lays Yachol. Shatzamos mitzdarfim lebatal se'iser. Kwo shetinofes v'sayel lebatal se'truma.
Well, Masik, then it concludes.
Masik, afilus yinofes se'truma, mitzarefes im hachulim lebatal se'truma.
Well, the half maskana.
Half maskana, etzem hazroa. Nami mitzaref im ha'ayel lebatal. Basar hazroa.
So you get all bones plus the basar of the head there, the ayel. It's mevatel. The basar of the Zeroa. And that's how you get, he says. That's what it says.
Aha.
Why? Because the Amar. Right. The Arab Gemara says basar bahadei basar misharin, and it doesn't say basar bahadei basar batzamos misharin. And therefore, it would seem that the Bavli believes that you just keep the bones. If you hold, like the Manda Amar Bashishim, you remove not only the Basa, the Etzem of the Zora, you remove the Etzemos of the rest of the... If you hold the Mea, you remove the Etzemos of the Zora, and you remove the Etzemos of the basar as well, right? For the Yushalmi, it turns out you remove the atzemus of the zroa and you put him with the basar, with the rest of the ayah. So it seems that the Bavli and Yushalmi argue, but he suggests. Now, so he says that you could be the Bavli in consonance with the Yushalmi. You could read the Bavli as saying that basar b'hadei basar misharinan. Not basar bade basar, but not the atzamos. But the point was that the first man ever said basar batzamos bade basar atzamos b'sharim. And our emphasis is that we don't, the dea that's the mea rejects the idea that the atzamos shall iser are a problem. And the other rabbi might even agree that they are mitzdar. So it could be that the Bavli and Yushalmi would be in agreement, which, by the way, I would hope on some level, because in all likelihood, you're seeing the sugya of the Yushalmi, not explicitly, but almost, being worked over by the Bavli. So unless the Bavli had a different version of the Yushalmi, you'd like to see them as being in agreement with one another. And therefore, the Rash concludes that even the Bavli could be read as saying that if you hold that it's Bishishim, if you hold that it's Bishishim, so then your Mishayar Basar Batsamos of the Zroa against Basar Batsamos of the animal, of the ayah. And if you hold Bimea, your Mishayar Basar of the Zroa against the Basar an atzamos of the ayah plus the atzamos of the zroa as well. Okay, so it's so is it AB against CD or is it A against BCD? That's basically what the Rash says is the machlokas, both in the Bavli and Yushalmi. However, if you want to talk about for our purposes, which way do we paskin? We paskin b'shishim, which means then that that the bones of the iser, the bones of the iser. Are not mitzdarif with the ayel itself, with the bones and the basar of the heter, but rather the bones of the iser should be mitzdarif with the basar of the iser. Avi?
So it seems that throughout the course of this discussion, you've had three different ways of measuring 1 to 100.
You mean how we get there?
Meaning either just basar to just basar, just basar to basar out some of the ayel, or basar to connect all the atzamot and...
I don't think the middle one is realistic. It's a stage in the Yushalmi, but the Yushalmi never ratifies it, right? Because as soon as it presents that, it didn't present it as such. It said that you take the atzamos out of the ayel. It didn't say what you did with them, out of the zroa.
There's at least two possibilities.
What's that? But they're for sure two.
Yeah.
Right? The question is, the Yushalmi really serious? And the Yushalmi intermediate stage says, if you hold mea, it means you're motzi the atzamos ben azroa. But it didn't say what you did with those atzamos. Right, do you throw them away or do you throw them into the other side, the other column? So the Rash continued. He thinks we don't hold, it doesn't help us. We don't hold that way. So, and he explained. Go ahead. All ahead. On both sides. On the Kanon. Okay, so it sounds like you took you had a vegetable omelet. So apparently, the beitzah b'shishim, the klipa, the beitzah, I don't know what that means. It maybe means the membrane around. I assume it's not the shell. I mean, unless you ground up the shell and put it in there, that would also make sense. But maybe there's like the membrane under the shell. It's also not considered. I'm not sure what he thinks is not part of the egg. So there are mitzvahs to shishim to be mevatel. Yet, you know, if you have a lot of yerek and you have the klipa is mitzvah. So you see that the, and maybe it is the shell. I don't know. So Amar Zira,
v'isur
mitochan. What does that mean?
V'isur mitochan.
So the Rash explains Klomar.
But
only the stuff that's inside the klipa, but not the klipa itself. So he says the odd thing is that sugya is following the mandam rashishim, beitz of rashishim, and nonetheless it says that the klipa of the isser is mitzaref with the heta. So how do you put this together? It's even a stira in theory within the Yerushalmi. So he continues.
Right,
so he's talking about here the sheet of the Kedera Atzma. It says, so maybe the Yerushalmi is thinking in all those terms, right? But that's why I say, right, so the truth is, right, okay, continue. So how do you put this together? Veshema. Right, maybe Kedera is different than Atzamos and Klipim, which is what you would like to say, which, by the way, still I want to ask the question, what does that mean? Does it mean the material? Because what was a Kedera made of? Cheres, probably. I mean, this default assumption. Right, a Kedera in the Gemara is made of pottery, unless if you were told otherwise. That's a good assumption. So maybe a Kedera somehow is different than Atzamos and Klipim. You know, so the question is, what does he mean by that? Does he mean the material is different? Or does he come up with some type of, I don't know, type of chiluk about, again, pots absorb less than Atzamos and Klipin?
Wait, did we say that a pot that's made of Atzamos is kosherable?
Yeah, why not?
Is a pot that's made of Keres?
Being porous doesn't mean you can't be kosher. Keres is exeris akasav, ha-torah he'idel for keres and yosemi de'dof yalolam.
So, I don't know if that would be, like, why that would be not.
Until you start thinking in Ravid-like ways, which we don't really accept, right, the answer is no, there shouldn't be any nafkamina.
I'm just raising it because we just saw someone who thought
that it wasn't. Do you think the Ravid or the Mordechai?
Right.
I understand. Yeah, hear your question?
Yeah, on what basis does he suggest that the Yerushalmi holds Kedera Atma?
Well, because the Yerushalmi says that the Klipos are Mitzareth, even though they're not themselves soft and food that you could eat, they absorb from their mitzvah to be mevat al yisra.
So why is he not being mechalek between klipot and
there? He's saying that, in other words, maybe either Yerushalmi holds like Kedera Atzma, or maybe, which we reject, or maybe there's a difference between Kedera, maybe Yerushalmi doesn't hold that the Kedera be mitzvah. Maybe Yerushalmi holds that only by the Bala Kedera, or even not even that. And the reason why Yerushalmi, and the Bavli, those questions, with the Bavli, if you reject Kedera Atzma, do you have to reject the Yerushalmi? The Rashi's suggestion is no, you don't.
But then you still have the stereo internally between the Tzaman and Klipin, which are on the same side of that equation.
Correct. That he hasn't really explained. He says it's still a problem, Shisha versus Maya.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Mikal Makom.
You'll know that someone who's sleeping shall heter mitzdar from the bottle of Yisr. Because she came, they ain't mitzdar from this.
Can we step back for a second? I'm just trying to remember. The Manda Amar that's according to the Yushami. I'm sorry, never mind. One second. So again, what does he say? He says, either way, right, everybody agrees. This was a line you came with me, right?
Right.
Right. Everybody agrees that the Atzamos of Heter Mitzdarech Levat Ala Isser. The only machlokis is what do you do with the Atzamos of Isser? Choshe came. Go ahead. Right, we were reading, maybe you just read it. Kosha came to aim, one second.
Right, but Kosha came to aim to talk to this, which, right, and you can only say that because he's reread the Bible.
Right, Aval.
Aval, the mandam, Rabbi Shishim, Mashma, Mithi Yalif, Mithi Rabbi Shela, Gad Samos, Azra, Mithi Starkin, Lisa. Yilav, Mishum, the Ika Shishim.
That tells me why it's a mutter, so that he.
He did very batel, the Mashma, the Philo, Klipe, Isser, Mithi Starkin, the Batel. Sarah Chalik, Ben Asamos, the Philo.
Ah, so you're going to have to make a further chiluk. Question is this the same chiluk between Kedera and Atzamos and Klipin? Or is this, because this is clearly Metzias chiluk. So he says, what would the difference be? Deshema.
Deshema yesh lachlufis shall tam be'atzamos yoter yimash yesh beklipay
beitzim. So he's suggesting that maybe the difference between, for the manda omar, zolim for manda rabbi shishim, maybe klipin are much don't have any moisture, and that's why they're not part of the iser. But maybe he thinks that atzamos, right? The man of Rabbi Shishim thinks the atzamos of iser have a din of iser. Maybe he feels because the atzamos have a little bit of moisture; they're almost edible. Say, okay. Go ahead.
Does that change what you were saying before about the bone of an avela?
Well, no. The question is, it's a pella because, but according to that shita, it sounds like the bones of an avela have enough time. But obviously, logical way of making a distinction might have been to say it's a bone sheish b'moach. But, yeah, the answer is yes. Okay, go ahead. But he has a hard time believing that, because if Gid Anashe and Mandamar and Vivi Paskin ain't in being in Nursing Tom, which is harder, the Gid Anashe or a bone?
The harder.
The bone is harder. If the Gid Anashe doesn't give off flavor, how does the bone give off flavor? Okay, so. Maschusin. What are the Rashi Knafayim Maschusin? What's a schus? Anybody recognize that word?
Ear.
Where do you recognize it from?
Jasher.
It's Targum Yonasan. Maybe you shall me off. Maybe there is a Shal Targum also. On Tznuch, Ozno Hayaminis is Chaschus. I think Chaschus. It's got a prosthetic something on top of it. That's schusin. So Rashi Knafayim are assuming this refer. I don't know if this refers to a bird of kachim or refers to a or some part of an animal. That's I don't know which part they would call the kanaf, the wing. So these are basically cartilage. So what what they're quoting the question of asmos kachim that I mentioned in this mesechta. When you mechan some, they're asurim because you're showing that you're treating them as ochel. You know, these are things that are in between. They're not clear the ochel. They might be ochel, not ochel. And when you're a machashev on them, they become ochel. So that's only by things that within reasonable could be considered slightly edible, like the cartilage, soft enough to eat. But regular bones wouldn't be. The bones of the zro would not be. So that's what he quotes the Shalmi to prove. So basically, he's stuck. And he continues. The bones that require srefa when the nursar is only if they have marrow. But that's our din of atzama seems to be by all bones. But kach nira. Beruba batel. This row of ayil.
Does Rabbi Al mean b'mino who? Does the rice mean b'mino b'ro?
Okay. So that's what the Rav, that's just kind of because the cop out parrots. It's like, oh, let's not take the Gemara seriously. Now, on a Matzias level, to some degree, maybe it makes sense. But that's what he basically says. Okay, let's not take the Gemara seriously for this issue. And we'll just follow the Yushalmi that says explicitly that the klipos of the Isser are mitzvah with the klipos of the heter and the heter itself to be mitzvah of the Isser. So we'll apply the same thing to bones. Even if it doesn't really fit with what's going on with this Rav Sheila, because that's all in Asmach. Yes, Alex. Such a neat tool to have in your toolbox to solve problems. Yes?
The Gemara's formulation of
you look at this thing, but then you say it has to be a smachta, but then you look at the formulation, and it almost seems like, no, they're presenting this as like a real source. You know the position of the Baalei Tosfos, right? The problem is the min mimino problem. That's a serious problem. Okay. So this one last note in the Rash. Okay. Yes. Okay, so the argument is that if you cook the leg or whatever, it's a piece of meat with a bone in it, and the meat might shrink, and the bone is actually absorbed flavor of the meat, so it's no different than the kedera, and therefore you have to be mishar at least with the total volume you have in front of you, including the volume of the bone. Which again, begging my question about the bones, it's exactly like a kedera. So why is the kedera not mitzdaref with the heter to be vatel nisur? So the Rash answered that question right earlier. He said maybe kedera is different than basar than again natzamos. The only problem is, and maybe we'd say that it's different, maybe only, the Gemara's then only applies by a Kli Cheres, what about a Kli Etzem? Don't know. He didn't say what the difference was. But I think it's clear from his latter description, by the way, that when he says that there's Yesh Lachalik Ben Kedera La'atzamos Uklipos, he doesn't mean a conceptual chiluk. Because otherwise, why would you say that the bone inside the animal is just like the Kedera? Unless he meant that it would make sense if you're talking about, you know, that there's somehow a fundamental conceptual difference that you could equate it to. It sounds like it's a Matthias observation. Yes?
The way the Rush rereads the Shita of Meya in the Bavli,
yeah,
you have bones and ayo against bones and ayo meat against Zoro meat, right?
All bones, right. Ayo bones and Zoro bones plus Ayo Basar against Zorah Basar. Yeah, that's what he would assume. Okay, so it should be quick from here. By the way, I'm sorry? Nati.
So we say this about bones and other parts of the food that aren't really food. What happens if like some mud gets in your pot or something like that?
What if some what?
Mud or something like that gets in your pot. Is that mitzarif leheter?
I think so. Mud, I assume, would be pretty absorbent.
I just wouldn't eat the food.
What?
I just might not necessarily eat the food.
You know, we think that because people don't eat enough dirt, that they're more allergies. We're so clean in antiseptic effect. They're more allergies. Alex?
It seems to, like, I still don't understand this, and maybe it's obvious to other people, but why could the bones, why are we conceiving in this shita of the bones only absorbing the iser and not absorbing part of the heter also?
We don't care if it absorbs heter. All we care about is whether or not the iser, stam, could be misbatel. And the way you measure that is not where the heter winds up. You just want to know, the iser, tam, is going to diffuse throughout. And if you have a total of 60 times its volume absorbing, then it will eat, it will distribute the flavor sufficiently that you will not be able to taste the iser and the heter that is inside the pot.
But the, okay, but so then if I understand the shita correctly, but the bones in the ayo aren't actually helping our case, it seems, because all they're absorbing is the tau of the heter.
No, because it's all in a pot cooking together. The juices distribute the flavor uniformly. That's the assumption. There is, by the way, a concern that you're raising what's known as Isser Davok. It's a chumrah that the Ramo has, you know, from some of the late Rishonim, maybe early Rishonim in Ashkenaz. Now, Isser Davok, when it's really actually attached, not just next to one another, maybe there's initially a greater transfer of flavor there. You might, Isser Davok might make the whole thing Hatichanas, and so on. But the Gemara is not working with that right now. So the assumption is that the liquid in the pot, if you were roasting, I guess, on the flame, you'd be correct. That's why roasting on the asus of the klipa. When it's stewing inside a pot full of liquid, the assumption is that it eventually distributes the tongue to the rat. Morty?
This whole question only began assuming that there's no bone marrow in the bones of Azra, right?
I think there's... Are there? I don't know. Does any biologist here... I know that the thigh bones, which would be the hind legs of the animal, have marrow. Do our forearms have marrow?
It's not all bones.
It's not all bones, but bones that are shaped like that, I forget what it's called, definitely
have marrow. The question is how much marrow also that they have in it. That's a crucial question. I know that when they do a marrow transplant, typically they take... now they may have changed things. Now I think they actually... I don't know if all the time. Now I think they actually get the marrow cells from the blood, or at least in some cases where they filter the donor's blood. So which is much less invasive than what they used to do, which you have to stick a needle into your thigh bone, I think, into your femur to get a good source of marrow. I think it was the femur they were getting it from.
They first give you drugs and then your marrow
produce
more.
But, okay, but maybe now with the blood.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still much less invasive. So the point is that some bones probably have more marrow. What is the expression? All bones are created equal, but some more equal than others. So. Okay. Right. So now, let's take a look. Alright, so here, by the way, is this sheet of the Rashba that I mentioned to you. I keep mentioning to you in Siman Kovav, where the Rashba says that you don't say Hanan, and you say the Atzmos of the Heter, the Atzmos of the Heter, Isser, it started with the Heter, like the Rash, but even though the Isser itself, the Chaticha that was Nesar, because it absorbed Isser, even though that never becomes Mutter again, why doesn't it become Mutter again? Because it's not possible to be Sochei everything out of that piece. That's what he presents, right? The Rashba, take a look at the Rashba for just a moment. He gives a wonderful, beautiful, flowery introduction. And then after writing almost half the tshuva of introduction, he says, "Umasha estapik l'chaim osa chaticha mitzaref slavata se'iser nirli shugam hi mitzaref slavata se'iser teida shemaya efshel v'sofa yatzva muteres." Now, if you have a piece of neveila meat that absorbs chazer schmaltz, a piece of kosher meat that absorbs chazer schmaltz, and now you put it into a bigger pot of meat. So the Rashba says that if you can use the volume of the meat, you know, minus, assuming that you lost one kazayis of meat, but we know, take the full volume of the meat that you put in, subtract the amount of chazer schmaltz you started with, and the rest of that volume of the meat that's clearly there is mitzaref with the meat in the pot to be mevatel the tam of the chazer schmaltz. Why? Because you don't say that the chaticha was nasa estavela. If it were possible to squeeze all the chazer schmaltz out of the meat, then the piece itself would be mutter. The piece itself would be mutter. That's what the Rashba says. That teidesh my efshel the sofa yatzmul muteres. There is a problem, by the way, with the Rashba in understanding his shita is, it is efshel the sofa. How do you get the chazer schmaltz out of this piece of meat?
Put it in a really big pot.
You put it in a pot with a lot of other meat, and the chazer schmaltz comes out of this because you won't be able to taste it anymore because the flavor will distribute throughout and it will be untastable. So the Beis Yosef, and I think the Darkei Moshe, go on at some great length and try to understand the sheet of the Rashba when we get to Siman Kovav. Anyway, for the moment, he says, "Va'ad kani ata osra ela sheyev shel lischol es ha'isa shabal." The hilchah, lahalos is a iser mitzareches she atzma muteresi. V'mata omer sheinu mitzareches levaka afata asisa neven la dahaba ha'kaliyim. Ezel mira libar marezek kachal she'am. Okay, leave out the last line. Okay, now his point is that whatever, even when the iser is absorbed in something else, the other material is mitzareif with the heter to be mevatel the iser. So you may not permit, you may not render that piece permitted because it was forbidden already, but the rest of the pot, it's mitzareif to help in the process of bittul. In the same way that the atzamos of the iser are mitzareif, which themselves are not osir, are mitzareif with the heter in order to be mevatel that. Yes, Judah.
So this is more being mevatel as
rechakilah? No. The thing fell into the pot by accident. This piece of meat that was nesar with the chazer shmaltz fell into the pot by accident.
Oh, so then we just assume at this point that it's because it's been distributed anyway, then like we don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, if you put that piece of meat in intentionally, are you now osir the entire pot? You can be mevatel iser on the individual chatikah or chatikah, but can you?
I don't remember. We'll see at the end of the simon. Possibly not. But the only reason. The truth is that I don't even know if that would be called mevatel nishul chatchila. I don't know why. The only person who would do that is a person who's a shota, because mevatel nishul chatchila means you take something that was nesar b'tarobes and you add heter to be matir. But here, you can all the heter in the world, you're not matir the chatchila. So it's not really a case of mevatel nishul chatchila.
So you're saying you'd be able to take out.
Right, in other words, you would say, let's say the person made a mistake and he didn't know this tshuva of the Rashba, so you just assume that it's Efshel L'Sochto. So in that case, I think we wouldn't say, if you would say it's, if you didn't hold like the Rashba, let's say if you didn't hold like the Rashba, you held it was Mutter, then if you threw it in, I would say that piece of meat is Asar. I don't think, if you would say the whole pot is Asar because you just want to deny him the fruits of his Havera. So I would think.
Just to clarify, Levatel into Isser in his case isn't the piece, it's
the chazer schmaltz in the piece. What he's
trying to the whole, everything that's now in your pot is mutter, including the piece.
No, that's the point of the Rashba. That's why I said it's not a case. Normally, bittul ishul chatchila means one kazayas of iser. No, he's asking, is it in the category of a mevatel ishul chatchila? Is it mutter
asa? I'm talking about that.
Yeah, so what are you talking about?
Stam, the Rashba's case, when he mentions that it's mistar of levatel to iser,
right. What
is he talking about?
It means you have this piece of meat, kosher meat, that absorbed chazer schmaltz. It's now you can't eat the piece of meat. You now throw it into a... Let's say, in that piece of meat, there's
you
five kazayas...
You unknowingly throw it into a thing.
Right.
Then you can now eat that piece, I'm saying.
No. You can't. But when you're calculating how much heter do you need in the rest of the pot to be mevatel, the iser, you don't... let's say this piece of meat, it's kosher meat that absorbed chazer schmaltz, we assume that to be five kazayas in the meat, one kazayas of chazer schmaltz. How many kazayas of heter do you need in the pot in order to be mevatel the iser? The answer, according to the Rashba, is you only need 55 more pieces of heter meat. Because you take the five pieces of meat in the mischatichas iser, which is really mutter, you add it to the 55 in the pot, you have one kazayas of chazer, so now the tam of the kazayas of chazer is batel. It's not going to flavor the other 55. But
still,
the chaticha remains asura. That's
if you don't know which piece it was, then it's...
If you don't know which piece it was, then you need 60 times.
And it got chopped up. Then if you have shishim and it was b'shogeg, then it would be mutter.
So you need 300 pieces.
No. If it got chopped up, so the chaticha is not nikar. So then you would say, and it got blended around, then that's like with a liquid. Right? In other words, by davar nivla, once it's mixed around, then we say that it's chozer
l'teira. What do we usually say if you just drop it in and it's not nikkur because you don't know which piece it is? Not because it got chopped up, but you have no idea what piece it is.
So the answer is it probably is still batel, because even chaticha, it probably, if you have two other pieces in meat, well...
We say roet mina, keyuwe,
no? No, what I would say here is that you have to be mevatel l'chaticha, and you have to be mevatel l'tam. So you need shishim total. And if you're not sure which chaticha is the chaticha asura, then you follow, that's like a mimbimino, a yavish question, and you would say you follow rov. And even if the chaticha is for chaticha asura iskabed, it wouldn't matter, because you don't say chaticha asura iskabed when the iser is balua, when it's not the chaticha itself. So the answer is, if you couldn't recognize chaticha, you would need total in the pot enough material to absorb the one kazayas of chazir, including the material, the original chaticha, and then you need a rov of chatichas and mutaros.
So just, the mutter part of this
Correct. Right. And the question is why, if you cook them, even if you did recognize the chaticha, why would the chaticha become uteris? Because you would have been so pekiyasir. So that we'll have to wait. Okay. So that is this tshuva of the Rashba. All right. Are there any other questions? Okay. If there are not,
Yossi.
In the what?
In the Rosh.
Okay. The Rosh, no. This is the Rashba who is occasionally quoted in Tosfos, but not usually, because most of our Tosfos are actually Tosfos HaRashba. It came from him or out of his school. So this Rosh is a major, probably one of the most influential Rishonim. We just don't hear his name so much because very rarely is he quoted by name in Tosfos. So yes, this is the Rosh Mishan, or Shimshon of Sens, or however you pronounce it. I can't put it. Alex, you can pronounce it, right? You know, Canadian. Anyway, from Toronto, can you give us a good French pronunciation? Yossi, go ahead.
Okay, so he compares the case where you take the bone, and then first you cook it, and then you drop it in. So he compares that to the case of midi d'hala akhira.
Yeah, it absorbs, like when you cook meat in a kedera, right, then you assume the kedera absorbed, and you have to be choshesh for the balua and the kedera and be mevatala if you cook something heter. The bone absorbed the same thing, yes. All right.